بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In the previous lesson, we looked at some of the evidences from the Quran which indicate and point to the third principle, which is السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ لِمَنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْنَا, to hear and obey the one who has taken authority over us. And so Shaykh Ubaid, hafizahullah ta'ala, he brought a number of verses, three of them, from the Qur'an, as an evidence for this principle. And so we want to continue in today's lesson by looking at the evidences which are reported in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh, he begins this section by saying that you should know, may Allah guide us and you to that which is correct in speech and actions and beliefs, that the sunnah with respect to this topic is mutawatira, or with an overwhelming transmission. Tawaturan ma'nawiyan, that the narrations in this regard which establish this principle have come abundantly, overwhelmingly, and they are mutawatir in their meaning. In other words, there is such an abundance of narrations from so many different companions, all mentioning this particular principle. Even if the wording is not the same, then in meaning it is the same. And the Shaykh says that no one denies or rejects this overwhelming transmission, except a person who is arrogant. And the Shaykh says, and we can add on top of this, on top of the fact that this principle has been mentioned by tawatur, by overwhelming transmission, we can add to this the ijma', the consensus of Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah regarding this particular issue. And that's because if we look in the books of the Salaf, who came after the time of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, then they established this principle in their books as a matter of ijma'. And then the Shaykh, that when we say that this principle has been mentioned by way of tawatur, by overwhelming transmission, then it is something that we are not really able to comprehend, meaning that we can't bring together all of the narrations and ahadith in this regard at this particular point. Rather, we find that many of these narrations are found in the Sahihain, in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah, and likewise there are others we find in the Sunan of Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i and Ibn Majah and At-Tirmidhi and many other sources as well. The Shaykh says that we are going to limit ourselves to just two ahadith are sufficient. And before we mention these two ahadith, we can mention some of the names of the companions who have narrated a hadith that relate to this topic. And so from them is Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu, and Abu Dharrin al-Ghafari radiyallahu anhu, Abu Huraira, and Abdullah bin Umar bin al-Khattab, and Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As, and Al-Irbad bin Sariyah, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and Ummul Hussein, and numerous others. The Shaykh says, may Allah be pleased with all of them. These are just some of the many, many names from the companions who narrated regarding this particular foundation of the Sunnah. The Shaykh says, as for the two ahadith, then the first of them is the well-known famous hadith of Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman, which occurs in al-Bukhari and Muslim. And then the Shaykh cites the entire hadith. So in this hadith, Hudhayfa narrates, radiallahu anhu, he He says, كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخير وأسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني. So he says that the people used to ask the messenger of Allah about the good, and I used to ask him about the evil out of fear that it may reach me. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّا كُنَّا فِي جَاهِلِيَّةٍ وَشَرٍ فَجَاءَنَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا الْخَيْرِ فَهَلْ بَعْدَ هَذَا الْخَيْرِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَالَ نَعَمْ. So he said that I said, O Messenger of Allah, we used to be in jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance and in evil, and then Allah brought us this good, and he means by this Islam, the good of Islam. Will there be any evil after this good? After this good, will there be any evil? And he, the Messenger of Allah, said, yes. Then he says, قُلْتُ وَهَلْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ الشَّرْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Will there be any good after that evil? So after the evil comes after the good, will there be good after that evil? So he says, قَالَ نَعَمْ وَفِيهِ دَخْنٌ. He said, yes, and there will be some taint. There will be some taint in it. قُلْتُ وَمَا دَخْنُهُ. I said, what will be its taint? And then the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described قَوْمٌ يَحْتَدُونَ بِغَيْرِ حَدْيِ وَيَسْتَنُّونَ بِغَيْرِ سُنَّتِ. That there will be a people who will guide themselves by other than my guidance, and they will follow a sunnah other than my sunnah. They will follow other than my way. تعرف تعرف منهم وتنكر. That you will acknowledge some things from them, and you will reject some things from them. Meaning there will be something of good that you will see in them, and something of evil that you will reject from them. قلت فهل بعد هذا الخير من شر. So he said, will there be any good? Will there be any evil after this good? And so the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, نعم دعات على أبواب جهنم من أجابهم إليها قذفوه فيها. Yes, there will be callers to hellfire. Whoever responds to them, they will throw him therein. قلت صفحهم لنا يا رسول الله. So I, حذيفة, said, describe them to us, O Messenger of Allah. قال هم قوم من بني جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا. He said, they are a people from our skin, and they will speak with our tongue. قلت يا رسول الله ما ترى إن أدركني ذلك. I said, O Messenger of Allah, what do you see? What do you advise if that should reach me, if that time should reach me? قال تلزم جماعة المسلمين وإمامهم. That you should hold fast to the jama'ah, the united body of the Muslims, and the imam. قلت فإن لم يكن لهم جماعة ولا إمام. So I said, what if there is no jama'ah, no imam present? قال فاعتزل تلك الفرق قل لها ولو أن تعد على أصل شجرة حتى يدركك الموت وأنت على ذلك. He said, then you should abandon all of those sects, all of them, even if you were to bite onto the roots of a tree until death came to you, and you were upon that state, then abandon all of those sects. The Shaykh, he says that this advice given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the beneficial cure, is the beneficial treatment that a person needs so long as a jama'ah and an imam is not present. And this is what Allah and His Messenger have commanded you with. And in this hadith, the Shaykh says, is an evidence that the word jama'ah can also be referred to as a firqah. As a firqah. Because in the hadith, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَأَتَزِلْ تِلْقَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا. Abandon all of those sects and groups. And the Shaykh says that the word jama'ah and the word firqah, they can be used to refer to one or the other. So the jama'ah means firqah, and the firqah can also mean jama'ah. And this is very clear also from the other hadith, the hadith of the 73 sects, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that 73 sects, all of them will be in the fire, and he referred to them as firaq. And then he said, all of them in the fire except for one. So one from those firaq, from those sects, is an exception. And then in the hadith he said, وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةِ, it is the jama'ah. So this is a proof from the other hadith, the hadith of the 73 sects, that firqa can refer to jama'ah, and jama'ah can refer to firqa, and the same is indicated here in the hadith of Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman. And so he says that this hadith, this is the first hadith that we're going to mention, I believe it is very clear in its meaning, and the meaning is obviously very, very clear, because in the hadith, the Messenger of Allah, he ordered that if there is an imam, that you adhere to him and you adhere to the body of the Muslims. And this is the point of evidence in the hadith. However, the Shaykh says there is an important question that needs answering here, which is, define for us this jama'ah. What is this jama'ah that is mentioned in this hadith, and which the evidence in this hadith clearly establishes that it is obligatory to adhere to this jama'ah? What is the evidence? And so the jawab, the answer the Shaykh says, is that the people have differed regarding the meaning of this jama'ah that is intended in this hadith and other ahadith, because we see there are many other ahadith that also make mention of the jama'ah. We see in the hadith of the 73 sects, where the Messenger said, وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةِ, the sect which is saved, it is the jama'ah. In this hadith we see, تَلْزَمُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, adhere to the jama'ah of the Muslims. So, the Shaykh says there are five different explanations or statements regarding the meaning of jama'ah in the various ahadith. So what are they? The first of them, the Shaykh says, is that the jama'ah here refers to what we call as-suwadul a'azam, which means the large majority. The large majority. The Shaykh says that whoever opposes them in any affairs of the Sharia, or opposes their imam, or opposes their leader, then such a person, he dies the death of jahiliyyah. So this explanation of the suwadul a'azam, meaning the majority, the large body, the majority, he says this is the view that has been explained by Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And then he quotes a statement from Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he says, عليكم بالسمع والطاعة فإنها حبل الله الذي أمر به, that upon you is to hear and obey, for indeed this, meaning this hearing and obedience, is the rope of Allah which he commanded with, meaning that he commanded that it be held onto. And then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he grabbed hold of his hand, he held hold of his hand, meaning indicating that the rope should be held onto, and this is what Allah has commanded. And then he said, indeed that which you dislike in unity whilst you are a jama'ah is better than that which you love in separation. So I'll repeat that again. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِي تَكْرَهُونَ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الَّذِي تُحِبُّونَ فِي الْفُرْقَةِ, that indeed that which you dislike and hate whilst you are in the jama'ah, meaning whilst you are a united body, is better than that which you love during separation, whilst you are separated. And so, upon this explanation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, then the people that would enter into the jama'ah are the various mujtahidun, the jurists, the scholars, the people of the sharia, and likewise those who are besides them from the general folk, because the general folk, they follow the scholars and the mujtahidun, and they guide themselves by them. So this is the jama'ah, and anyone who departs from them, then he is the one who has separated. He is the party of shaitan. And this person is the one who enters into the people of innovation in general. Why? Because they have opposed and separated from those who came first in the Ummah. They separated from those who came in the Ummah. And so therefore, they do not enter into the large majority. Now we need to really understand this definition. We need to get our heads around this definition. What is really being meant by as-suwadul a'zam, the large majority. What it refers to is the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because in the time of the Sahaba, when innovation wasn't widespread and truth was uppermost and the Muslims were united, then that is the asl, that is the foundation of the Jama'ah. And that is when the overwhelming majority of the Muslims were united behind their rulers and their scholars. Scholars meaning scholars from the Sahaba. And then as the various groups emerged from the Khawarij and the Rafida and the Qadariya and the Murjiya, and they began to separate and split off, then essentially they had broken off from the large majority group of the Muslims. They are the ones who separated from As-Suwadul A'zam, from the large majority. And they opposed those who came before them. Those who came before them from the Sahaba who preceded them in Iman and upon the Aqeedah and the Manhaj and so on and so forth. And then every time a group separates away from this from this truth and from what the Sahaba left of beliefs and actions and methodologies, then this person is removing himself from the as-suwadul a'zam, from the large majority. And so this really means that every group of innovation, every person of innovation, he cannot be counted to be from the as-suwadul a'zam, from the large majority. Why? Because the asal of this large majority is in fact the Sahaba, the Tabi'een. And this means that in our time today, those people who claim, for example, that we are the overwhelming majority, we are the Ash'aris and Maturidis, and they make all of these claims, we look and we see what you believe and what you practice and the methodology that you are upon, does it agree with what the Sahaba were upon? If it does, then your claim is false, even if you are the largest number of people on the face of the earth. Because why? The meaning of As-Suwadul A'zam, the large majority, does not mean the large majority in every single age and every single era. No, it means the large majority upon the truth in the time of the Salaf, in the time of the generations which are praised in the Sunnah. That is the large majority that we need to be a part of. So if you are not a part of that large majority, in that meaning that large majority in that time, even if you number in the millions and the millions and the millions in the centuries that come afterwards, then you are not from that as-suwadul a'zam. You're not from that majority that is being referred to by the word jama'ah. And this is clearly known and understood because Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is the same person who explained the meaning of the word jama'ah in another narration. He said, "Al-jama'atu ma wafaq al-haq wa in kunta wahdak." That al-jama'ah is whatever agrees with the truth, even if you are just a single person. So this clearly explains what is meant by the meaning of as-suwadul a'zam, the large majority. So this is the first meaning and the first explanation. The second explanation of the word jama'ah is that it refers to the ulama, the scholars, al-mujtahideen, the scholars who make ijtihad, and this is because they are the group of Allah, the ulama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them to be the proof upon His creation. They are the proof upon His creation. We see in another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Lan tajtami'a ummati 'ala ad-dalalah." My nation will never agree or unite upon misguidance. And this means, the Shaykh explains, is that the scholars of my nation, the ulama of my nation, they will never unite upon misguidance. And so the second meaning of the word jama'ah refers to the scholars, the mujtahideen, the ulama, and this is the view of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak and Ishaq bin Rahuya, rahimahumullah, and a number of other scholars from the Salaf. And we see also that some of these explanations, they tend to have an overlap. So we can say that the second meaning of the word jama'ah, given by some of the Salaf, it has an overlap with the first meaning of the word jama'ah, given by Abdullah bin Mas'ud. They are not necessarily contradictory or opposing explanations, rather they are explanations which may have an overlap to one degree or another. And all of them can have, you know, can also be correct at the same time. The Shaykh says that Abdullah bin al-Mubarak, rahimahullah, was asked, who is the jama'ah? Who is the jama'ah that is worthy of being followed? He said, then he began to mention names. He began to say Abu Bakr wa Umar. And then he continued counting up until he came to Muhammad bin Thabit and Al-Husayn bin Waqid. So in other words, he mentioned a list of names. And then it was said to him, Ha'ula'i matu, that all of those have died, they have passed away. And then he was asked, so who then from the living? Who from the living is the jama'ah? And then he said, Abu Hamza as-Sukkari. He mentioned a single name, Abu Hamza as-Sukkari, a person who was living in his time, at the end of the second century. So in other words, he gave the name of one imam from the many imams to indicate that this imam is the jama'ah, meaning that holding to him and following that which he is upon, that this will make you from the jama'ah. Why? Because this imam himself is a follower of the jama'ah that came before, from the Salaf who came before, from the Tabi'een and from the Sahaba. And so giving the name of a prominent person from the people of the Sunnah to indicate that he is the Jama'ah, we see that this is a practice of the Salaf. And that's why we can say today in our time that, for example, in our time that Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah and Shaykh Ibn Baz and Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, that they are the Jama'ah. They are the Jama'ah. Meaning that if you hold on to them, then you will become from that jama'ah mentioned in the sunnah, which is as-suwadul a'zam, and all the other descriptions which are given. And if someone was to say, but they have passed away, then we would say Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, and you know, Sheikh al-Ghudayan, who's also passed away in fact, but Sheikh al-Luhidan, and Sheikh Rabi', and Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, and Sheikh, and many other the other mashayikh who are present in our time, we see that they are the jama'ah. They are the jama'ah intended, because the intent is the ulama, the scholars, the mujtahideen. So this is the second explanation of the meaning of the word jama'ah. The third meaning is the sahaba, that the jama'ah is the sahaba radiyallahu anhum specifically. And this was said by Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And so therefore, here the word jama'ah is in agreement with the hadith in which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about the 73 sects, that all of them are in the fire except for one. And in that narration he says, ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi, that which I and my companions are upon today. So essentially he said that whatever the companions are upon, that is the one which is saved. So the word jama'ah is in agreement with the word sahaba. As-sahaba is explained by the sahaba, that the sahaba represent the jama'ah. So again, as we said before, there isn't any conflict between any of these explanations. All of these explanations, when combined, they give us a general concept, a general meaning, which is that the original jama'ah is the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and anyone who is upon their way thereafter, then he is from that jama'ah. And that often the Jama'ah can be represented by prominent scholars of that given time, like we see Abdullah bin al-Mubarak did in his time by mentioning Abu Hamzat al-Sukkari, and we see that the same is done by those who came after him, like we see in the 5th century, the author of the book Aqidat al-Salafu Ashab al-Hadith, which is As-Sabuni, Abu Uthman As-Sabuni, rahimahullah ta'ala. We see in his book, at the end of his book, he mentions and lists all of the imams of the sunnah from the various centuries, and he says that whoever you find loving so-and-so, he's a person of the sunnah. So we see this practice is something that is done by the people of the sunnah to indicate and to show to the people in general who is the jama'ah, what is the jama'ah that a person ought to hold on to. So these are three meanings. The fourth meaning is the jama'ah of Ahlul Islam, the jama'ah of the people of Islam. So when the people of Islam as a whole, they gather together upon a matter, they agreed upon a matter, and what is actually meant here is the people of Islam in general, that they are those who should be followed by people of other religions. That the people of Islam ought to be followed by the people of other religions, because when the people of Islam unite upon a matter, it is unanimous upon all of the people of Islam, that is the truth that ought to be followed by other than them. And these are the people that the Shaykh says that Allah has guaranteed for his Prophet that they will never, that his Ummah as a whole will never unite upon a misguidance. The Shaykh says really this statement, this opinion here of the explanation of the word Jama'ah, it returns back to the previous ones, the first and the second explanation of the word Jama'ah. And the Shaykh then continues, and he says the fifth opinion or the fifth explanation is the explanation given by Imam al-Tabari rahimahullahu ta'ala, which is the word jama'ah here is referring to the jama'ah of the Muslimin who unite behind a ruler, who are united behind a ruler. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered that people remain united behind this ruler and they adhere to this unity behind this ruler. And he prohibited his ummah from separating and from splitting and so on and so forth. And the Shaykh says, and this is because this splitting that the Messenger of Allah has prohibited, it will only be found in one of two situations. Or there are two types of situations. One situation is we find that a group of people, they revile their ruler, and they begin to find fault with him on issues that they shouldn't really be finding fault with him, or they separate from his obedience on account of these issues, and they make these interpretations and faulty explanations, and as a result of this, they lead to innovating into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was what was done by the Khawarij, the Haruriyya, those who separated from the Imam of the Muslimin. And the Messenger of Allah ordered his ummah to fight them, and he called them, he gave them certain labels as those who exit and depart from the religion. So this is one way that people leave this jama'ah. And a second way is when another people, they try to seek leadership, and they seek leadership in a situation where an imam already exists. The Pledge of Allegiance has already been given to this imam, and another person comes along and he wants to nullify this Pledge of Allegiance. And he wants to bring a new Pledge of Allegiance. He wants to make the people gather around him. And to the likes of this person, the Messenger of Allah, he said, "Man ja'a ila ummati liyufarriqa jama'atahum, fadribu unuqah ka'inan man kan." Whoever comes to my ummah in order to separate their jama'ah, then strike his neck, whoever he may be. And so we see that with this meaning of the word jama'ah, we are speaking of the ruler and the Muslims who are united behind that ruler, and it is prohibited to split that jama'ah. The Shaykh then brings a narration from Umar bin al-Khattab indicating this meaning that is found in the hadith that we just mentioned. He mentions that Amr bin Maymun, that he narrates from this Sahabi, that Umar, he prayed with the people, and he said, when the people gathered upon him, Uthman came, and Ali came, and Talha came, and Zubair came, and Sa'd and Abdul Rahman, they all gathered together. This is when Umar was the leader. And he said, he advised a particular individual, a person called Suhaib. And he said to Suhaib, he said, فَقُمْ يَا صُحَيْبْ عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمْ بِسَيْفِ. He's advising Suhaib in relation to a people. And he says, stand in front of them, O Suhaib, with the sword. And if only if five of them give the pledge of allegiance and one of them refuses, then unsheathe your sword upon his head for the one that does not give the pledge of allegiance. Meaning here that a person who refuses to come under the pledge of allegiance of the ruler and he refuses obedience, then this person should be dealt with in a certain way. And this is really an explanation of that hadith that we just mentioned from the Messenger of Allah, that whoever comes wanting to split the jama'ah of this ummah, then strike his neck, whoever he may be. And this is something that was advised with by Umar bin al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. So the point being here is that this fifth meaning of the word jama'ah is referring to the ruler and the jama'ah which is united behind the ruler. And Imam al-Shatibi rahimahullah, he says that this jama'ah goes back to the imam and the unity behind the imam in agreement with the kitab and the sunnah. So he says, al-jama'at an al-jama'ata raji'atun ila al-ijtima'i ala al-imami al-muwafiq lil-kitabi was-sunnah. Or al-muwafiq lil-kitabi was-sunnah. That ijtima' behind an imam, all in agreement with the kitab and sunnah, this is what is the word jama'ah. And in reality, when we bring together all of the five meanings, all of the five different meanings of this word jama'ah, we see that all of them are gathered together in this particular statement of Imam al-Shatibi, al-jama'ah raji'atun ila al-ijtima'i ala al-imam al-muwafaq lil-kitabi wa sunnah. That the word jama'ah means unity behind an imam, all in agreement with the kitab and the sunnah. And so if we try to put all of these meanings together of the word jama'ah, we see really that they all come together. Because in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar and Ali and Uthman and Ali, we see that the whole ummah was pretty much united before the fitna arose, obviously, that the ummah was united and they were upon the kitab and they were upon the sunnah and their affair was united behind an imam. And so this is the asl of the meaning of the word jama'ah. And then we see that people broke off from this jama'ah. So the khawarij came, and whoever followed their particular way from the rafida and other than them, when they left the imam and they separated from the imam and they innovated into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they left the jama'ah. They became khawarij. They became those who left the united body of the Muslimin, either by way of leaving obedience to the ruler or by way of innovating into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thereby being in disagreement with the kitab and the sunnah, even if they never revolted and rebelled and, you know, remove themselves from the obedience to the ruler. They exited from another way. So the point being here is that a person, he can leave the jama'ah, the main body of the Muslimin, either by leaving obedience to the ruler, which is the issue that we are discussing here in this principle, or they can issue in a more, they can leave the jama'ah in a more general sense, which is through innovating into the deen of Allah, even if they don't rebel and revolt and separate from the ruler. So this would be those who bring those other innovations into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innovations in belief, innovations in methodology, without them necessarily separating from the rulers. So, Ash-Shatibi says, Al-Jama'ah Raji'atun ila al-ijtima'i ala al-imam al-muwafaq lil-kitabi wa sunnah. That unity is that which is behind an imam and which is upon and in agreement with the kitab and the sunnah. So this gathers together everything. It brings together everything. So then, after this, the Shaykh moves on to the second hadith that concludes our discussion of the first hadith. And the second hadith is the hadith which is narrated by Imam Ahmad and Muslim from Abdul Rahman bin Abd Rabbi al-Qa'aba, who said that I entered into the masjid, and there I found Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As, and he was sitting in the shade of the Kaaba, and the people were gathered around him. So I came to him and I sat next to him, and I said to him that we used to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we came to a place and we alighted at this place, and then some of us became preoccupied with certain things, we were doing certain things, and then a caller called from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that the prayer is established, the prayer is established. So then we all gathered together to the Messenger of Allah. We came and we gathered around the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he said, and then he quotes what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, innahu lam yakun nabiyyun qabli illa kana haqqan alayhi an yadulla ummatahu ala khayri ma ya'lamuhu lahum wa yunzirahum sharra ma ya'lamuhu lahum. He said, indeed, never was there a prophet before me except that it was a duty upon him to direct his nation to every good that he knew for them, and to warn them from every evil that he knew for them. And then he says, wa inna ummatakum hadihi ju'ila afiyatuha fi awwaliha. Indeed, this nation of yours, its part, the afiyah, meaning the best part of it, the part which is safe and secure and successful, it is in the first part of it. وَسَيُصِيبُ آخِرَهَا بَلَاءٌ وَأُمُورٌ تُنْكِرُونَهَا. And as for the end part of this ummah, there will be an affliction which will come to it, and affairs that you will dislike, and then tribulations will come, and they will fold over each other. And the tribulation will come such that a believer will say, this is going to destroy me. But then this tribulation will pass, and then another tribulation will come, and then he will say, this is the one, meaning this is the one that will destroy me. And then he said, فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُزَحْزَحَ مِنَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَيُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَيَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever amongst you wishes to be delivered from the fire and enters into paradise, then let him, come to his time, meaning let him not die, except that he believes in Allah and the last day. And let him not come to the people except with what he likes that the people should come to him with. And whoever has given the Pledge of Allegiance to an imam and has given him the palm of his hand and the fruit of his heart, meaning in obedience, then let him obey him if he is able to. Let him obey him in everything that he is able to. And if another one comes trying to contend with him, meaning contend with that ruler, then strike the neck of the second one. And so then the narrator, Abdul Rahman bin Abdul Rabbi al-Qa'aba, he went close to this Sahabi, to Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As, and he said, I implore you by Allah, did you hear this from the Messenger of Allah? And then he went right close to his ears and his heart, and with his hand, and he said, I heard, sami'tuhu, my two ears heard this, and my heart memorized it, meaning from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the narration that is brought by Shaykh Ubaid hafizahullah ta'ala, and he says that upon this there are a number of issues in light of this hadith. The first point from this hadith is that we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the most eager of the people in teaching his nation how to have the mu'amala, how to behave in the affairs of aqidah and in the affairs of ibadah. Because we see in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah, he gave three pieces of advice. The first piece of advice was that if you want to enter paradise and be saved from the fire, then you should believe in Allah and the last day. This is a matter of belief, matter of aqidah in this hadith. And believing in Allah automatically comprises all of the other pillars of belief. Belief in the angels, the books, the messengers, Al-Qadr, the last day, and so on and so forth. So we see here that the Messenger has taught the mu'amala as it relates to aqidah. Likewise, he taught issues of mu'amala in the sense he said that behave with the people as you want the people to behave with you. And thirdly, he mentioned the issue of the methodology as it relates to how to behave with the ruler. So all of this shows the eagerness, the hirs, the eagerness of the Messenger of Allah in teaching these affairs to his ummah. The second point that we derive from this hadith is that if you want to be safe in your religion, then you need to follow the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those who came before us, meaning the very first part of this ummah. And in fact, this is yet another hadith from the many ahadith which include the obligation, or which imply the obligation of following the early part of this ummah. Because in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah, he said, وَإِنَّ أُمَّتَكُمْ هَذِهِ جُعِلَ عَافِيَتُهَا فِي أَوَّلِهَا, that indeed this nation of yours, its عَافِيَةُ, meaning its safety and deliverance and guidance and success and happiness, has been placed in its first part. And which means that therefore this is an implied command that a person must hold fast to their guidance, to the guidance of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, those who took from the Qur'an and from the Sunnah, they held onto it fast. And so this is the second benefit that we take from this hadith. The third benefit that we take from this hadith is to take caution against the fitan, the tribulations, because in this hadith the Messenger of Allah said that there will come at the end part of this ummah, at the end part of this ummah, tribulation and affairs that you will dislike. And these tribulations will come such that they will, like, it's like the tribulation comes and one tribulation falls on top of another tribulation. This is the way that the tribulation will come, meaning on top of each other, coming, falling on top of each other. And so here the Messenger of Allah, he explained how a believer will be, that a tribulation will come and he will think that this is the one that's going to destroy him in his deen. And then another one will come, and then he says this is the one that's going to destroy him. So we see that after mentioning these tribulations, the Messenger of Allah, he gave that advice in those three issues. Issue of belief, don't die except that you believe in Allah and the last day. How to behave with the people, and how to behave with the ruler. And so he gave us how to behave in these issues. The fourth benefit that we take from this hadith is that a person should have insaf. He should be just to his own soul, and that being just to oneself, and likewise being just to the people. That this is the mu'amala that the Messenger of Allah has given us, and that by doing this mu'amala, we will lead to the benefit mentioned in the hadith, which is that you will be saved from the fire and you will enter paradise. So being just to oneself, again, those three things: do not die except that you believe in Allah and the last day, come to the people with that which you like them to come to you with, and, you know, meaning that you fulfill their rights, you fulfill your promises and your agreements, and, you know, that you apply this hadith to the people, right? So all of this is part and parcel of having insaf, of being just in these different ways. The fifth thing that is derived from this hadith, and this actually is the point of evidence for us in our discussion, which is that a person must fulfill his pledge of allegiance and obedience to the Imam, And in this regard, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, when he quoted this hadith, he gave it the chapter heading, Wujubul Wafa bi bay'atil khulafa'il awwal fal awwal. The obligation of fulfilling the pledge of allegiance to the rulers, to the leaders. Those who come, then those who come after them. And then the Shaykh says that we come to an issue here which is a great and mighty issue, which is that some people say today, they claim that the Pledge of Allegiance is only for the overall Khalifa, the Khalifatul A'zam, Al Khalifatul A'zam, the great overall, the single ruler over the whole Ummah. And the Shaykh says that the Khalifatul A'zam is not present today. So do we just leave the people in absolute, confusion and chaos? The Shaykh answers this question by saying that no, this is not correct. This claim is not correct, meaning that the claim of Pledge of Allegiance being only to the great overall single Imam for the whole Ummah. The Shaykh says, no, this is wrong. And we can refute them in a brief and concise way. Here the Shaykh does this from the angle of reason and from the angle of text. From the angle of reason, from rationale, we say that, are you pleased that the entire Muslim nation, these millions and millions of people, are we pleased that all of them are left without, without any imam, so that the stronger amongst them, they oppress and consume the weak amongst them, and so the people are living in such chaos and fear and confusion? This is from the first angle, that reason tells us that this simply cannot be the case. As for the angle of text, from Naqal, then the Shaykh gives one hadith. He says, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَنْ بَايَعَ إِمَامًا. This is from the same hadith that we just mentioned. وَمَنْ بَايَعَ إِمَامًا. Whoever gave the pledge of allegiance to an imam, and he gave him the palm of his hand, and he gave him the fruit of his heart, meaning in obedience, then let him obey him if he is able. Now in this hadith, the Messenger of Allah, he mentioned the word imam in the indefinite form. He said, وَمَنْ بَايَعَ إِمَامًا. Whoever gave the pledge of allegiance to an imam. He did not say, وَمَنْ بَايَعَ الْإِمَامِ. وَمَنْ بَايَعَ الْإِمَامِ. He did not say, whoever gave the imam the pledge of allegiance. Rather, he said, إِمَامًا. So he mentioned it in the indefinite form. Indefinite form. And then also we see that in this hadith, this part of the hadith is actually a conditional sentence. It is a conditional sentence. Whoever gave an imam the pledge of allegiance. Whoever gave an imam the pledge of allegiance. Now these two things together, whenever we see these two things coming together in a sentence in Arabic, we have a conditional sentence, and we see that the noun in question is mentioned in the indefinite form, then this is one of the ways in which a generalization is implied in the Arabic language. Right, so we have al-umum, we have a generalization intended here. So in other words, this is a proof from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the imam mentioned here is an imam, any imam. And whether it is the khalifa, the overall khalifa, or whether it is less than the khalifa. So in other words, the wording of this hadith is such that it is a proof against this claim that the Pledge of Allegiance is only for a single imam. And so this brings us to the end of this lesson. And inshallah we'll continue in the next lesson, where the Shaykh now begins to bring some narrations of ijma', some statements from the Salaf, because we said the proof of this principle is from the Quran and from the Sunnah and from ijma', from the unanimous consensus of the Muslims. And so inshallah ta'ala, in the next lesson we will look through some of those narrations and also go through some other shubuhat and some doubts that the people bring in relation to this issue of obedience to the rulers. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.